When Mrs. Richards said that she was president of the Junior Charity League at the time, it was part of the
Junior
League, and then was president last year of the Charity League, and then the first year of the Junior League. Can you tell me something about how the Junior Charity League went about becoming part of the Junior League of Long Beach?
Well, there's a routine that you go through.
Mm-hmm.
You make an application, and you have to have, state your qualifications, tell them what your projects are, and how many members you have, and you give their ages, and there's all this various information that they want to know ahead of time. And the size of the community, and then you have to get community leaders who will vouch for you, so to speak, and then they look over the material, and then they accept you on a provisional basis, and then they send people from the national organization to interview you, and then if everything turns out all right, in the 2-year probation period that you have, and they come in, and they actually can are very helpful in giving suggestions for how you might change your structure if they think it needs it, how to be more efficient in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory that Junior League likes to back, and I suppose our dental clinic is one of the exceptions, is that you promulgate a problem, you research a problem, mm-hmm. find out what the city is most in need of, what are the things that are lacking
mm-hmm.
in the city in the way of projects that you think should be done.
Mm-hmm.
Or the community thinks should be done, rather. And then get it started and hopefully turn it over to someone else in this town who's concerned
mm-hmm.
about that
mm-hmm.
problem
mm-hmm.
after you get it going and you give it seed money and get it started. And that's the premise that the league worked on. Particularly in those years. Now, of course, the league has expanded and besides just actually a charity or something like a dental clinic or that's tangible, they're going into advocacy that type of thing, taking on projects that well, one I'm still involved in that was the latest one was the abused children, and
mm-hmm.
they actually got Cedar House started.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still on the Friends of Cedar House board, but I got into that not too many years ago. And it was actually because the league was interested, and I got interested, and I suppose it's a carryover from day
mm-hmm.
nursery,
mm-hmm.
too, in a way.
The young children.
Uh-huh. And so there is a regular application process that you go through, and then if you meet the standards, you're accepted.
I've heard the story, and it's probably just a story, that Ruth Craig Ron, Merrill Ron, when someone from the Junior League came to Long Beach to obviously speak about your organization becoming a part, she drove them on a rather circuitous route around town so that they would not see the Navy and where all the sailors were downtown. I don't know. I mean, that's a story, and it sounds like a good story.
I don't know.
But I don't know whether it's true or not.
I don't know either. But certainly, the Junior League is one of the groups that used to help entertain the infants in the whatnot in the Navy during the war. It was junior charity back then. In fact, there are a couple of people I think met their husbands there through the years, so I don't think the League has a whole lot any objections to the Navy, but Ruth might have done something like that.
Well, what were the war years like? I mean, that certainly was a time for women who, some cases their husbands were away, and other cases the husbands were working twice as hard as they normally
yeah.
had done in the past.
Well, it was, we were just looking at an old movie the other day that had the children in it, part of it had a picture of the harbor when there were, right after the war and during the war, when we had so many Navy ships out there, absolutely amazing. I'd forgotten how many there really were, but I think we took it because we thought it might be interesting someday,
mm-hmm.
and it really was sort of flabbergasting to see how many ships there were out there. Well, of course, everyone was involved. We were rolling bandages and doing all that kind of thing, and on airplane watch on the Belle Riviera, that was one of the duties I did, and also Bix. Yeah, they were airplane spotters. They did it at night, and I did some, you know, in the afternoons, and they had people on shift up there on top of the Belle Riviera Tower, gazing out into the...
You would record each plane as it came over?
We had to look binoculars. Oh, we were spying on everything that came by to identify the planes, to be sure. I don't know that we learned the silhouette supposedly, but of course we never really saw anything, and I don't know that we would have really known if we'd seen a Japanese plane come over, but anyway, that was part of the duty, and they were very serious years, naturally.
I've seen some materials about the American Women's Voluntary Services, and Ruth Merrill
was very involved in that, yeah, and Betsy Todman was quite active in that group, too. So, you know, almost everybody in Long Beach was certainly involved in the war, and there's the great excitement for Black on it. We still have one piece of brown striped cotton flannel that was part of a blackout curtain. Still have it. Every once in a while, my feet are cold, I use it as a little cover. Yeah.
Well, another activity that is that Mr. Bixby said when I spoke to you both before that you've always liked to live near the ocean and been very much involved in sailing. When did you first begin sailing?
Well, actually, about the time, Bix was about seven, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been the end of the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And about 31 or 2. And that was a little, yeah, I guess it was. I think he was maybe about 8. Anyway, that doesn't make any difference. But Bix and John Munhond, who was an old friend of ours, the Munhond family has been, you know, about a well-known prominent family in Long Beach. And they decided that they ought to get a boat for the boys.
Hmm.
Well, the boat they got was not for the little boys. It was really for the big boys because it was an 18-foot sloop that had a small main and a big jib. I can remember jerking them all and I looking at each other and saying, well, we know what boys that's for. And so with that, then they finally got Sabbaths for the children. So that was when we really got started. And we raced that boat called the National One Design for a good many years. And we towed it up and down the Pacific coast and entered on Lake Nogales, San Diego, up as far as San Francisco, and in between.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd take the kids and put the Sabbath on the roof of the car and boat on the trailer, and off we'd go. And we had lots of fun. It was a family sport, the Munhons, and the Merrill family, they're still here.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd go, and my mother and father, my dad was had a sailboat too then, and so they'd come along. They were sort of part of the entourage.
Mm-hmm.
The Merrill seniors, and Fran Mason, of course, was the aquatics director, and those were all her kids, and so she was along on a lot of those trips. So we had lots of fun. But then eventually we got into a little bigger boat, a family boat, and we've gone from there. We still have a boat that we sail. We just cruise now. We don't do any more racing. Days are over. That's for sure. Dick gave up. He did long distance racing for a while.
Transpass or something like that?
Yes, he only took our boat, Type E1. He only took her once to Honolulu, but he went 6 times, I think, to Mazatlan.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a better race for our boat, because the Honolulu boats, they were beginning to go into light displacement type boats, and our boat was heavy, in a wooden boat.
Mm-hmm.
Went better off the wind than down the wind to Honolulu. But he sailed in Transpac about 6 times, 7 times, I guess,
mm-hmm.
on other boats.
Mm-hmm.
So we really enjoyed the boating area. It's been a nice family.
Are you members of the Alameda Spray Yacht Club then?
Yeah, we belong at this point to several yacht clubs.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
We joined Long Beach too, but Alameda Bay is our original club, and Bix was one of the ones responsible for the building that's down there now that's
mm-hmm.
used by the
mm-hmm.
city. It was an old fire station, a Cal ship,
mm-hmm.
during the war,
mm-hmm.
and when they were looking for a building, and we really couldn't afford to buy a building, where we dickered around and Bix was really the one that was responsible for getting that building. And then the yacht club members drove the pilings themselves.
Are you talking about the current building?
No, I'm talking about the one down at the west end of the bay there,
mm-hmm.
that the city uses now for their sailing center.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All those pilings the yacht club members drove.
Mm.
It was quite an operation getting that thing started. And then they moved from there down, managed to make arrangements for the property at the end of the peninsula there.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, they'd been able to save some money to start building the club, so.
Well, I usually sort of end up with comments such as, well, you've seen Long Beach change over the years. What do you think of what downtown is like now? Did you want to comment about anything like that?
Well, I've certainly seen it change from horse and buggies to horseback riding on the beach and
mm-hmm.
a few other things like that that I remember as a youngster
mm-hmm.
to certainly getting to be a much more cosmopolitan city. I think it's marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened in the last few years, I think I always sort of become, and a lot of people I know criticize the Queen Mary,
mm-hmm.
the costs involved, and but that was what really got things started when you look back on it.
Mm-hmm.
If it hadn't been for that. That was sort of the seed that got a little more going in my beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's amazing. And it seems to me that my beach is really getting on the map. We were always such a satellite as far as Los Angeles is concerned, except for the harbor, of course. If we got them deep there, which is kind of hard for them to take, I think, sometimes. But I think there's still a lot more to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the housing situation, like everyone else, I mean, there isn't anybody that isn't aware of that. And now the Navy is coming back. Why, we've got problems there, but the government, of course, is going to build a large housing unit over there in the
west
side. So that should help some, but there are lots of problems that have to be worked out.
So. Well, I imagine you see a lot of those problems, too, and people problems with your service on the board that you're on, with Peter House and the
Yes, that's true. And, you know, the city will definitely feel the impact, both good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Schools and so forth.
Changing patterns of, you know, racial patterns in the community, too. Large Asian settlement.
Yeah, it's really almost unbelievable in how quickly it has changed. And, you know, anything, it's really only been, well, I'd say at the most 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But just in the last 2 or 3. And that, you know, that's going to create, well, it has created some problems, and also the, not only the Oriental groups that are coming in, but the Chicano.
Mm-hmm.
And it leaves the city with a lot of problems to solve there, because there are people that have come with not a lot of means,
mm-hmm.
a good many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they need their education, and it's the language barriers that are difficult to overcome. So that, you know, there are always problems, but then they'll get solved one way or another, I'm sure.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Dixon.
Well, I'm sure you're welcome. I enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed
it. Sorry, my voice is a little...